14 through 18 of Ruth 1. And with God's word open, let's all bow in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we do come to Thee this morning and we pray for that spirit that the Magi had when they went to seek after the Lord. They were guided by that star in the night, and how they longed to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Anointed One. How they traveled far, far distances to see the Lord. And Father, we pray that Thou would give us that same desire to see the Lord and to seek after Him and to there worship Him. We know, Lord, that when the Magi met the Lord, that they bowed down and worshiped before this baby, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and gave the Lord great gifts of treasure. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to give Christ our hearts today as we bow in worship, and that Thou would, Lord, be pleased with us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and look to Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our offering today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just read verses 14 through 18 again in Ruth 1. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if I ought but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. It's interesting to study of examples in the Old Testament who were converted from an idolatrous Gentile background. Such major figures include Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We read, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. We read of Naaman the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And then Rahab the harlot in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And here in the book of Ruth, we are introduced to another Gentile idolater by the name of Ruth the Moabitess. This morning, let us look more closely at the life of Ruth. The book of Ruth took place during the days of the judges. And what do we know about the days when the judges governed? The book of Judges sums up these days as dark days, because in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. The days when the judges governed marked a time of apostasy, apathy, and anarchy, associated with idolatry, immorality, and war. These were dark times during the days of Judges. A Bible commentator observes, The lovely story of Ruth is in sharp contrast with the bloody and turbulent annals of Judges. It completes but does not contradict these, and happily reminds us of what we are apt to forget in reading such passages, that no times are so wild but that in them are quiet corners, green oases, all the greener for their surroundings, where life glides on in peaceful isolation from the tumult. Men and women love and work and weep and laugh. The gossips of Bethlehem talk over Naomi's return. Boaz stands among his corn, and no sounds of war disturb them. Thank God The blackest times were not so dismal in reality as they look in history. There are clefts in the grim rock and flowers blooming, sheltered in the clefts. The peaceful pictures of this little book, Ruth, multiplied many thousand times, have to be set as a background to the lurid pictures of the book of Judges. And it's so true that we see here an oasis, if you will, from the lurid and very difficult times during the times of the Judges. Alexander McLaren writes, "I believe Ruth's example has a special message to women and exhorts them to see to it that in the cultivation of the so-called womanly excellence of gentleness, they do not let it run into weakness, nor, on the other hand, aim at strength to the loss of meekness." Now, God's strength here in Ruth is gentle strength, and ours is like His when it is meek and lowly, like that of the strong Son of God. When Ruth threw herself on Naomi's withered body and sobbed out her passionate resolve, she was speaking the eternal language of love and claiming Naomi for her own. And in the very act of giving herself to Naomi, human love should be the parent of all self-sacrificing as of all heroic virtues. And in our homes, we do not live in love as we ought unless it leads us to the daily exercise of self-suppression and surrender, which is not felt to be lost, but the natural expression of our love, which it would be a crime against and a pain to ourselves to withhold. If Ruth's temper lived in our families, they would be true houses of God and gates of heaven. Therefore, we can learn much from the godly woman Ruth this morning. The title of my message is Pressing Forward in Faith with the Lord. Pressing Forward in Faith with the Lord. The Apostle Paul exhorts the church in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 15. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in any way, anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal unto this, even unto you." And this is what Ruth was doing here in verses 14 through 18. She was pressing forward with the Lord. We see in the book of Ruth how the daughter-in-law of Naomi, Ruth, pressed on with the Lord, facing a future with many unknowns and uncertainties. Many times we as God's people must press forward with the Lord when the present is very difficult and the future is unclear and uncertain. There are three things we discover about Ruth that should inspire us to press forward with the Lord in faith. The first thing I'd like to see from the passage here is that Ruth pressed on with the Lord despite her sad and difficult circumstances. Ruth pressed on with the Lord despite her sad and difficult circumstances. We read in Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Both women, Orpah and Ruth, lost their husbands. The state of widowhood is one of peculiar trials which calls for and should receive peculiar sympathy and aid. And it's very sad when you lose your loved one. You can't really express it in words. Only those who have gone through something like that can really know what that feels like. But in the case of Ruth and Orpah, they lost their spouse. And it was a very sad time in their life, a very difficult time. Orpah returned to her people, the Moabites, as verse 14 indicates. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. She was one of the daughter-in-laws, and she didn't want to go at first. She didn't want to leave Naomi. But Naomi insisted that they both leave her because she didn't have anything to offer them. And the fact is that the second time Orpah decided to leave Naomi, and so she kissed her mother-in-law and said goodbye. But Ruth wouldn't leave. Ruth clave unto her. Now, Orpah loved Naomi, but she did not love her so well as to quit her country for her sake. See, thus many have a value for the Lord Jesus Christ and yet come short of salvation by Him because they cannot find in their hearts to forsake other things for Him. They love Him and yet leave Him because they do not love Him enough, but love other things better. What a picture we see here in this woman, Orpah, that she loved Naomi, but she didn't love Naomi enough to leave everything to follow the Lord. And this reminds me of a story in the New Testament in Mark chapter 10 of the rich young ruler. Remember, this is a story that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us in the New Testament. And I'll just read you some of these verses. Very similar idea here that we read about regarding the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verses 20 and 22. The rich young ruler says to Christ, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." What's he referring to? He's referring to the commandments that he was raised with. And he tells Christ that he has observed all these commandments from his youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, here is a young man who loved the Lord Jesus, but he didn't love him enough. He wasn't willing to sacrifice all for the Lord. And sometimes the Lord does ask his people to sacrifice everything to follow him. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we love the Lord Jesus Christ enough? We may love him, but do we love him enough? Are we willing to part with these things that we love in the world? Are we willing to give these things up? Are we willing to go with the Lord, whether that means that we will go through persecution, trials, tribulations? Are we willing to love the Lord Jesus enough to do that? This woman, Orpah, did not. And the rich young ruler was not prepared to give up everything and follow the Lord. But we see here a woman that was, Ruth. Ruth was willing to leave everything for the Lord. She was willing to take up her cross and follow the Lord. Losing her husband could have left Ruth very bitter and angry against the Lord. Why did my husband die? Why did I lose my husband? But Ruth pressed on with the Lord, didn't she? Despite her sad and difficult circumstances. See, Ruth left her friends, family, familiar culture in Moab, and foreign gods, and followed Naomi. What great faith Ruth the Moabitess manifested in the Lord. As Boaz reiterates in the next chapter, chapter 2, Boaz says, "Ruth left her father and her mother and the land of her birth and came to a people that she did not previously know," Ruth chapter 2 verse 11, "and sought refuge under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel." Boaz's declaration implies that Ruth's parents were still alive, making her commitment to the Lord and His people even more striking. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verses 36 through 38, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." I think you could apply this verse to the life of Ruth. Here was a woman who left her father and mother to follow after the true and living God. And to follow after the people of God. You see, her love for Naomi was just an extension of her love for the Lord. Everything that Naomi stood for, Ruth had wanted to apply into her life. And we will see very shortly how a godly witness can have such an effect on the lives of those who we come in contact with. But here is a woman who had very sad and difficult circumstances. Maybe you're here today and you've gone through some sad circumstances, difficulties in your life, or maybe you are right now going through these things. And these things can have a negative effect on you. You can either turn away from the Lord, you can either become bitter and angry against the Lord, or you can look to the Lord in faith and say, Lord, guide me. Help me to put my trust in Thee. I don't know why these things happen, but Lord, I know that I want You. And this is the spirit of Ruth here. She wanted to follow the Lord despite these sad and difficult circumstances. You know, and these were very real to her. These were things that she felt in her heart. She lost her husband. Put yourself in her shoes. If you lost your spouse, would you act this way? Would you exercise such faith in the Lord? The natural man would turn away from the Lord, become bitter and discouraged, defeated, and cut off and isolated. But not Ruth. Ruth wanted to press on with the Lord despite these sad and difficult circumstances. And secondly, Ruth pressed on with the Lord despite discouragement and opposition. Not only did she have sad and difficult circumstances to contend with, but she also had to overcome opposition and discouragement from her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law didn't want her to come. Naomi discouraged her two daughter-in-laws to go back with her to Israel. We read in verses 11 through 13, and Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? And there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it is grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And Naomi's discouragement worked on Orpah, didn't it? Because she went back to her people. She said, okay, if you don't want me to come with you, then I won't come with you. And I'll go back to Moab, and I'll go back to my gods, and I'll go back to my people, my family. But it didn't work on Ruth. No, Ruth wasn't going anywhere. Ruth exercised great faith despite experiencing opposition from her mother-in-law. Ruth pressed on with the Lord despite her background in pagan religion too. She didn't want these false gods anymore. She wanted the God of Naomi. And Ruth was not just simply a foreigner here, folks. She was a Moabite. And the law stated that no Moabite could enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3. You could say there was a curse on the Moabites. And why? Because of what the Moabites had done to Israel during the wilderness journey. In Numbers chapters 22 through 25, the Moabites were always fighting and trying to destroy Israel. And because of that hatred and animosity towards the people of God, the Lord placed a curse on the Moabites. So the Moabites were so abhorred by the Jews that they were forbidden even to seek their peace or their prosperity. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 6. So these were accursed people. These were people that were despised. And whether she was aware of this is unknown. But the fact is, Ruth persisted. It would not take no for an answer from Naomi. She kept on arguing with Naomi and saying that it's no use for you to tell me not to go with you. I'm going with you. She was so set on this. She was so steadfastly minded. She was so set on that direction to go with Naomi that finally Naomi said, okay, I'll give up. You can go. You can go with me. It reminds me of a passage in the New Testament between a woman from Canaan and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this passage in Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 and 28. Let me read you this passage. I'm sure as I read it, this will come to your mind, this story. "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There's a discouragement right there that the woman had to contend with. Christ was saying to this woman from Cana, I didn't come for people like you. It's a pretty harsh statement, wasn't it? Then came she and worshipped him. That didn't deter her. That didn't put her off. She came and worshipped the Lord and said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Again, Christ's very discouraging words. You're a dog, and it is not meet for me to give the children's bread to people like you. And she doesn't argue with the Lord. She doesn't say, Lord, you're wrong. She says, It's true, Lord. It's true. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What a story of persistence. What a story of not taking no for an answer. Twice the Lord Jesus Christ basically said, I didn't come for you. I can't help you. I won't help you. Now, Lord, please help me, Lord. And then he tells her the truth about herself and about her people. And she doesn't argue. She says, It's true, Lord. I don't deserve to be heard from you. I don't deserve, Lord, your power in my life. But Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table that fall from the table. And the Lord was just overwhelmed with the faith that this woman was exercising. This is the kind of faith that Ruth was exercising here in Ruth chapter 1 verses 14 and 18. It was great faith. It was faith that was energized by the Spirit of God. This certainly was not a faith that she had in and of herself, but there was something working in Ruth that gave her such a willingness to be persistent with her mother-in-law. What was it? It was the Spirit of God working in her and through her. And that same spirit that Ruth was experiencing, this Canaanite woman was experiencing, and Christ says that you truly are experiencing, exercising great faith in your trial and in your temptation. See, Christ discouraged the Canaanite woman, but she persisted, and it was her great faith that moved the Lord to cure her vexed daughter. Ruth demonstrates great faith in following Naomi despite difficult and discouraging circumstances. Now, let me just, again, make it clear. We go through difficulties. We go through discouragements. And oftentimes, we feel sorry for ourselves. Oftentimes, we have a pity party. Oftentimes, we say, Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? This is not the spirit that Ruth is conveying here in Ruth chapter 1. And this was not the woman, the spirit that the Canaanite woman experienced or was conveying as well. And this is what we have to get through to our hearts here, brethren, is that we need to, even in despite our difficulties and discouragements and oppositions and all these things that are against us, we need to continue to go on with the Lord. And this is what this woman was doing. She was going on with the Lord. Even when her mother-in-law said, Don't come with me. You don't have any right to follow me. She pressed on with the Lord. So she pressed on with the Lord despite her sad and trying circumstances. She pressed on with the Lord despite her opposition and discouragement. Thirdly, Ruth pressed on with the Lord because she was a converted woman. Here is a woman who was a changed person. These are the words of a converted lady. Listen to verse 16. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Truly, this is one of the greatest confessions of faith recorded in the Bible from Ruth, a Moabitess. A more perfect surrender was never made of friendly feelings to a friend. I will not leave thee. I will follow thee. In effect, Ruth was forsaking all that she had ever known to follow the one and true God. She was following in the footsteps of Abraham, who had forsaken his family and his homeland in response to God's command. And what made people do these things? How could people do these things? It was by the power of the Spirit of God, giving them, energizing them, and inspiring them to do that which, from a human perspective, was crazy and impossible to do. And suicidal to do. Here is a Moabitess. She's a cursed woman. And yet, this didn't deter her. She came to the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you're under the curse. You're still under your sin. You're still living under the curse of trying to satisfy the law of God. And you know in and of yourself, you can't satisfy the law of God. And yet the Scripture doesn't discourage you from coming to Christ. It encourages to come to Christ. The Gospel says, sinners, come to me. Sinners, come to the cross and be forgiven. Be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here a woman who was from a cursed nation, from an idolatrous background, coming to the Lord in faith and embracing the Lord and the message of the gospel. And that's what you must do as a sinner. That's what you must do as someone who's under the curse. You're unworthy, you're undeserving. You must come and take Christ as your Savior. You must take God's people as your people. You must follow this book. And this is what Ruth was saying. She was making the confession that your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And this book will be my book. So how dare you do this, Ruth? You're a Moabitess. How could you do such a thing? She was doing it because she was looking to the Lord in faith. And she didn't care what people thought. She didn't care what people said. She was going to follow Naomi and follow the Lord no matter what was the consequences of her decision. Fanny Crosby wrote a hymn called "Entreat Me Not to Leave Thee." Listen to the words of Fanny Crosby here. "Entreat me not to leave thee. My heart goes with thee now. Why turn my footsteps homeward? No friend so dear as thou. Thy heart has borne my sorrow, and I have wept for thine. And now how can I leave thee? Oh, let thy lot be mine. I'll follow where thou leadest. My love will cling to thee. And where thy head is pillowed, my nightly rest shall be. Thy birthplace and thy kindred I'll cherish like my own. Thy God shall be my refuge. I'll worship at his throne. Where death's cold hand shall find thee, there let my eyelids close. And in the grave beside thee, this mortal frame repose. Oh, do not now entreat me, no friend so dear as thou. My heart would break in anguish if I should leave thee now." I think that summarizes the heart of Ruth and how she entreated Naomi that she could go with her. See, Ruth was living by faith. And this is evidence in four things that she says. There are four things that Ruth says here that evidences that she was walking by faith. She says, "For where you go, I will go. For where you go, I will go." She did not know if she was going to a cottage or if she would even have a place to lay her head. So total was her sweet surrender. Ruth was willing to follow Naomi wherever it led. There's nothing guaranteed for Naomi. And yet she said, "Wherever you go, Naomi, I will go. I will follow you. And thick and thin, whether it be poor, whether it be blessing, whether it be sunshine or rain, I'm going to follow you, Naomi. I will go with you." See, that's the language of faith. We don't know where the Lord's going to take us. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We don't know what this week will bring forth. Wherever the Lord takes us, I will go with the Lord. Whether that be in a cloudy place, whether that be in a sunny place, I will go with the Lord. That's language of faith, brethren. It's not language of unbelief. I'll just go to the Lord where it's sunny and warm and nice and pleasant and where I'm prosperous. That's where I'll go with the Lord. But the Lord takes me down a place of darkness, a place of uncertainty. I'm not going to go there because I'm afraid. See how unbelief comes in? And we start reasoning, I'll go to this place, but not to that place. See, Ruth didn't have that mentality. She says, wherever you go, I will go. Do you have that faith in the Lord? Are you willing to follow the Lord wherever He may take you? That's faith. Secondly, Ruth says, where you lodge, I will lodge. I will call home where you are, Lord. Your home is my home. It's really the pilgrim's song, isn't it, when it comes to our walk with the Lord? Because this isn't our home, brethren. And sometimes we get so rooted, we get so entrenched in our homes and in our places where we're living, and yet we lose the sight that it's not really our home. Our home is where the Lord is. That's where our home is. That's what makes a home, the Lord. How many people have these big mansions and these million-dollar homes, and yet they're just houses. They have no home. But see, Ruth was willing to call home where Naomi was willing to call home where the Lord was. And is that where your home is? Is that who you desire to live with and to serve with and to fellowship with? The Lord? Naomi says, thirdly, your people shall be my people. Her thoughts go farther than simple association with Israel. She identifies herself with a people, whatever their state might be, in order to belong to the God of Israel, the true God who does not change. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Are God's people special to you? Do you desire to be with the Lord's people, to fellowship and to build one another up? Or do you desire to be with other people, worldly people, people that have other hobbies and interests? See, when we are with the Lord's people, our vision is Zion. Our fellowship is with the Spirit of God, and our emphasis is on Christ. That's what Naomi wanted. She wanted to be with a people that talked about the Lord. She wanted to be with a people who would make the sacrifice for sin constantly, an offering, that sacrifice that was made in Israel. She wanted to be with those people. She wanted to be with a people whose sins were covered by the blood, who had all the promises and privileges from God's Word. She wanted to be with those people. And that was language of faith. Is that the faith that you have? That you love God's people? That you want to be with God's people? That you have God's people as your people? Even closer than your own family. Because if you're a child of God, there's no people like God's people. Because of what you enjoy, what you have in unity together, what binds you together is Christ. That's even stronger than blood relation, is that unity of Christ in His people. And if you're here today and you're a child of God, you're part of this great company of saints bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a stronger bond with them than you do with your own blood-bought people, than your own natural blood relations. This is what Ruth is saying here. And then fourthly, she says, your God, my God. Ruth makes this confession during the days of the judges when the majority of the chosen people chose to forsake the living God and cleave to dead idols. Even in Israel, there were so many people that were falling to idolatry and formalism, external religion. But see, Ruth's affirmation is similar to the picture of repentance among the Thessalonians who heard the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, we read, for they themselves report about us, Silvanus, Timothy, what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. This is what Ruth was saying. She wanted to turn from our idols, turn from our false religion, turn from the world and turn to the true and living God and embrace the Lord as her God. This is what Ruth was saying. See, Ruth's action of turning from the idols of Moab and unto Jehovah is an excellent illustration of the meaning of genuine biblical repentance. Here's a woman who's repenting from her idolatry. She's turning away from it, never to want to go back to it again. And she's embracing the Lord. That's what repentance is. It has been well said that faith is not only believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of the consequence. And here, Ruth was believing in spite of the consequences. There would be some hard consequences to face by following the Lord and by following Naomi. And she was willing to accept those and follow the Lord despite all these things. See, Ruth points the way to that kind of dynamic and exciting faith, and all believers do well to emulate her excellent example. See, true faith is not based on empirical evidence, but on divine assurance and is the gift of God. And this is the gift that Ruth experienced in her heart. She believed in the Lord. She believed in the people of God. And how did Ruth know God? How did Ruth know Naomi's God? Clearly, Naomi's relationship with God had an impact on Ruth. She saw Naomi's God through Naomi. That's how she learned about the God of Israel. That's how she learned about Naomi's God. And can people look at your life as Ruth looked at Naomi's and say, I want your God to be my God? What a challenge. For those who are unconverted, for those who we live amongst, who say, this person has something different about them. They have a special quality about them. And I want that. And what are they saying? I want their God. Do we have that kind of testimony? We have to say, sadly, most of the time we don't. We're so weak and pathetic and inconsistent. And yet we see here the power of testimony in witnessing to others. Naomi witnessed to Ruth, and Ruth wanted what Naomi had. Our trust in God and turning towards Him in tough times will often be the very thing that draws others to the Lord. Let's be the kind of persons who draw others to us and through our friendship to our God. Let us not be those who turn people off to the Lord, turn them away from the Lord because we're so sour and negative and judgmental. But help us to be like Naomi who lived her faith. And that affected another person so much that this person didn't want to leave her. Ruth. She wanted what Naomi had. And let me ask you this, especially young people here today. Is the Lord your God? Is He your personal God? Can you say with Naomi, your God will be my God? Is He the God of your parents? Is He the God of your friends? Is He the God of someone who you look up to? Or is He your God? Do you know Him personally? This is what Ruth wanted to know. This is what Ruth wanted to experience. She wanted to experience God for herself. You can't experience Christ by looking at your parents' faith or by looking at your friends' faith. You have to experience God through personal faith in the Lord. And maybe you're here today and you have been trying to live faith through vicariously your parents or through your friends. You can't do that. You have to come to that point in your heart and your life like Ruth and say, I want your God. I want the Lord myself. I got to know Him personally in a powerful way. This is what Ruth was saying. Ruth pressed on with the Lord because she was a changed person. Ruth was no longer the Moabitess who worshipped idols, but she was now a follower of the true and living God, and she was determined to go forward with the Lord. She became steadfastly minded. That's the words that are used in Ruth 1 verse 18. When she, Naomi, saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She was serious. She was dead serious about this. And young person, if you're here today, you need to be serious for your own soul's sake. You need to be serious about the things of the Lord. You have to take seriously your walk with the Lord. This is what Ruth is showing to us. She was steadfastly minded. Nothing else entered into her mind except following the Lord. This was the first and foremost thing in her heart. And this must be your desire. You must follow the Lord. The Hebrew word for determined means to stiffen oneself firmly upon a thing, which pictures Ruth as strong in her resolve and steadfast in her determination not to go back to her own country, but to go forward with Naomi to the degree that nothing could move her from her firm purpose of mind. Can anything move you from your following the Lord? Can the things of the world, entertainment, music, do these things have an impact on you that they move you away from the Lord? If they do, then you're not steadfastly minded. There was nothing in the world that would take Ruth's mind off of following the Lord. And that's the word that is used in Ruth 1 verse 18. She was serious. She was steadfast. She was mindful of the things of God. An old preacher observed, "Oh, you dear young friends who want to be Christians, how glad we are when we see that you are steadfastly minded to go with the people of God. There are so many who are quickly hot and quickly cold, soon excited towards good things, and almost as speedily their ardor cools and they go back into the world. Do ask the Lord to make you steadfastly minded. This is one of the best frames of mind for any of us to be in." And we have some people that we know that have gone back into the world. We have family members. We have friends that have gone back. They've gone back to Moab, to the ease, to the comfort of the world, haven't they? They haven't been steadfastly minded. They haven't been resolved to follow the Lord. And what's their hope? What's their salvation? It's the Lord. Lord, bring them back. Rescue the backslider. Rescue those who are perishing. Rescue those who are living in Moab, the life of ease. Bring them back. Bring them to their senses. In closing, what does a study on Ruth have to do with the Lord's Supper? You think about that? What does this study have to do with the Lord's Supper? We're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But just as Ruth clave to Naomi, so too we as believers cleave to Jesus Christ by faith. Despite our difficulties and discouragements in this world, and we have many of them, we will follow the Lord. Take the world, but give me Jesus as our cry. We want to and we need to press on with the Lord because we are changed men and women. Only Christ crucified satisfies our souls. We are here today about to observe the Lord's table. What are we going to do? What are we doing when we observe the Lord's table? We are pledging ourselves in faith to Christ. We are pledging, like Ruth, that we are going to follow the Lord. We're going to serve Him. We are remembering the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. May the Lord help us all to press forward in faith with the Lord, just as Ruth. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, help the Lord to bring this message to our hearts, to press forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us pray.